Welcome to the Focus Today podcast with Perry Atkinson.
Well, welcome back. Time for a couple of Republican state chairman, recovering state chairmen, to have a conversation. I'm delighted to have Tom Del Beccaro back with us, former chairman of California Republican Party, and the author of two historic perspectives, The Divided Era and The New Conservative Paradigm. He also is now about ready to launch his new book. It's scheduled to be released coming out in July, The Lessons of the American Civilization. There's a picture of the cover of the book on the screen. Tom also contributes to Fox News, Fox Business, Epoch Times, publisher of the politicalvanguard.com, and he does have a website, tomdell.com, tomdell.com. Tom, good to see you again, friend. How are you?
Great to see you. I always get a chuckle when you bring up our collective past there.
That's all right. We're recovering. Someday we'll get over it.
Exactly.
Thanks for your time. Wow, congratulations on your new book. What inspired you to do this?
Well, actually, my father helped start the Conservative Party of New York way back in the late 60s. And I got involved in politics very early age. He started me reading history books as very young age. The Durants over my shoulder here, you have the Lessons of History. And I read their Story of Civilization, and I wanted to take a lot of Durant's principles and the others, the great historical philosophers, and tell the American story so people could get an understanding or some perspective of where America is. Civilizations tend to rise and fall with the similar characteristics. And so a lot of people asking today, you know, what's going on in America? And this book answers that question.
All right, due to be released in July. I take it we have a mutual friend in White Horse correspondence, John Gizzi. I got to know John a lot.
Yeah.
He's kind of like a walking political encyclopedia.
You know, that's exactly what I say about him, that he's a living encyclopedia. So, yes, you're right.
He says your book really hits the nail on the head and contributes to the historic perspective often missing in the American classroom. So that's a high compliment.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, he likes history. He's been a part of it. He was a White House correspondent for some 40, 50 years. So he's seen a lot.
Yes, he has. So, Tom, where do you think we are today? How close are we to, if I can use the term, losing it?
Losing it. Well, you know, when you stand in the middle of something, it's always hard to determine whether it's a temporary trend or something more permanent. Civilizations come together, as I said, they rise and they do eventually fall. No civilization has lasted forever. We won't likely either. So, but there is telltale signs that America has significantly changed. As you well know, and your listeners know, America started out very much as a very disciplined, hardworking, very faithful, grounded in religious belief as a civilization. And what happens to civilizations as they commercialize and industrialize and become rich, and as science advances, what you find is that people tend to become less religious. They worry less about tomorrow, less about their heavenly future or otherwise. And they tend to be less hardworking. They tend to defend their country less. All of these things, all of these dynamics are going on. But that doesn't mean that America can't have a revival. Civilizations, one thing I say in the book is that history is no more a straight line than the emotions of our day. So a great leader or a circumstance could cause an American revival. You your lead-in talks about how people are there's a religious survival of sorts. So it's hard to say in any one moment, but we are in a very difficult moment right now, and we're at sort of a trough in the sense that you have big government, which is always an enemy of faith, taking on faith, taking on people's values. And that's always a difficult time in any history.
The religious foundation of America, the Judeo-Christian foundation, produced something that makes us uniquely different. It's called the Constitution. And it appears to me that if there's anything that now seems to be in the way of America falling, is the Constitution. It's being undermined in various ways, but it's still there. What's your take?
Well, one very important aspect of what the founders did, which had never been done in history before, was they stood on its head the divine right of kings for centuries, especially in the age of absolutism, which was ended just with at the time of the American Revolution and the American Constitution. It was the prevailing method of government was that kings had the divine right, their right to rule given to them by God. Our founders did something absolutely extraordinary, exceptional. Notice the words I'm using here, because today we find people saying the United States is not exceptional. Well, here's something very exceptional to history. We created a government that said that, no, it isn't the divine right of kings, but that we have rights directly from given to us by our creator. And that is the forerunner to democracy and republics, because what that said was the individual has these rights, and we may allow government to do certain things, but in truth, those rights belong to us. That was completely revolutionary as an idea, as opposed to the revolutionary forces, the army, the war. It was a revolutionary idea in history. And from that, much of world freedom, that was the seeds that capitalism grew to make democracy and republics possible. That foundation is always challenged by big government and socialism, because today you have big government proponents like Biden and others saying you should trust government and let government take care of you. A couple of weeks ago, you had Michelle Obama say, you know, government does everything for us. Well, a government that does things for you also takes away your rights and is trying to turn the Constitution on its head. And it's going to take some extraordinary leadership to undo the current dynamic, which is the centralization of power in Washington, which threatens our individual rights and is always a threat to religious beliefs because, and this is an important dynamic, religious beliefs throughout history talk about what you as a person should be doing, your personal responsibility. No Bible, no Torah says, become a ward of the state and you shall reach salvation. So faith, hope, charity, all these things that we help each other, and that was how we started up as a civilization. De Tocqueville was amazed in America in the 1800s because we had all these associations that helped each other. Now government wants to do all of that and outlaw charity, private charity almost, and that's a threat as well. All of these things are occurring right now, but that doesn't mean strong leadership couldn't turn that around.
Why is faith just generally a threat?
Well, what, to big government?
Yeah, well, are those
the big government socialists wants to govern you, wants to be your master, as Daniel Webster would say. And the problem with faith is, especially the Judeo-Christian faith, is that you believe not in the temporal, which is this moment in time and what government would do. But you believe that there is a higher faith, a higher purpose, a higher importance, a creator. And so when you have that personal belief and that, which always includes personal responsibility and the desire to help others, charitable, that's it. That's a conflict with government. Government wants to do all these things, wants to control all these things. So, you know, rarely in history do you find big government and religion getting along. In the Western circumstance.
Right.
Excuse me. Rarely do you have big government getting along with Judeo-Christian values, because if you believe that you you should be helping your brothers and sisters, you don't need government. And socialists don't like that competition.
Faith also projects morality, and therefore there would be a moral giver, and that is the supreme, that's God himself, and that puts government in second place, not primary place. That's got to be a real rub.
Yeah, let me express it this way to you, if you don't mind. At the beginning of a civilization, people are very faithful. Right? And there's not a lot of laws. And their morals, which they look in America, those the first educational book for a child in America, I talk about this in my book, The Lessons of the American Civilization. The first educational book was, of course, the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't so much that it taught you math, of course, but it did teach you values. Right? And those values and morals you describe are the guardrails of a civilization. With that education and strength and those values, you march forward. The richer a civilization gets, though, the less the values tend to crumble. And also government tends to grow. And values are replaced by laws, but laws don't uphold morals. Morals uphold laws. And so if that morality slips, and certainly you make that argument today, that morality in this country has slipped considerably. And again, that's normal for a very rich society that places its faith in science. That's a normal. You have during the humanist era and the Renaissance, you had this conflagration of immorality, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
It's revived. We have the morality revival in America. But the point being here that once that morality's lost and there's a multiplicity of laws, it's not the same. The civilization doesn't have the same standing. And you see what goes on today. I mean, just on the issue of personal responsibility and crime, we have generations being taught no values in the schools. So look how far we've come. You have the Bible was the first school book. It really was in America. And before that, obviously. And now what do we have? We have no values in school, no prayers in school. You're not supposed to mention God in school. We're not teaching any values. And we wonder why children today don't have these values, why crime among 30-unders explodes when they don't have these values. It's a simple thing. What's not taught in the school, I mentioned this in the book, what's not taught in the school is lost in the culture.
Well said. By the way, before I take a break, can they pre-order your book?
Hopefully you'll have me back on before then. Pre-orders, I think, are mid-June. We're working on a date.
Okay.
Date then.
All right, so mark this down. It's called Lessons of the American Civilization. There's a picture of the cover of the book. on the screen, and we'll let you know when you can pre-order. Tom does have a website, tomdell.com. Check that out. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
We'll be back to this week's interview in just a few seconds. In the meantime, we want to let you know that you can watch this interview, plus many more exclusive interviews that happen this week on the Dove's Daily TV and radio show by visiting our website, thedove.us. And while you're there, sign up for our free daily devotional, The Word for You Today. 3 months of daily readings that will connect you with God's Word. Now, back to the show.
And I'm honored to have back with us Tom Del Vaccaro's back with us. He's a former chairman of the California Republican Party. He has written quite a few historic perspectives, the divided era, the new conservative paradigm. But look for his new book. It'll be coming out in July. It's called The Lessons of the American Civilization, already preceded with some great reviews. Tom also contributes to Fox News, Fox Business, Epoch Times, and the publisher of thepoliticalvanguard.com. He does have a website, tomdell.com, tomdell.com. I'm trying to figure out how I was going to ask you this question, Tom, because if you look at all of this and the division and the lunacy that we're now facing in this country and the division between the left and the right and everything in between and all the issues that are on the table, I attended a seminar several weeks ago that kind of left me hanging here, and that was the turnaround in America may come from mom, the woman 35-54. And the reason that demographic was selected is that that person possibly controls over 60% of the daily commerce in America. And when it costs 18% more to buy bread, fuel, and the list goes on and on and on, and their child is being challenged at school board meetings, that person is waking up. That demographic is coming alive, and they're saying, no, not under my watch. Could that be the seedbed of a revival, in addition to religion?
Well, yes, it could well be. Government, big government always fails. It fails in trying to replace God with the state. It fails economically. It can't really, it can't help people. It doesn't produce any wealth. So history is littered with big governments that have ruined the economy or presided over bad times, and people react to that. The problem for America today, we're on this show, we now have a situation where our debt payments are larger than our defense budget in America. So, but I often say that real leadership doesn't come from leaders that we elect. It comes from the people that elect them. The biggest political movements in American history have not been from the establishment, and never will be. They're in power. They're not going to lead a different place than where they are. They like their power. So, yes, the importance of the individual is paramount in California. I'm sorry, in the United States. And it's paramount that Americans take back control of their government, because those who got you in trouble won't get you out of trouble. They're more concerned about their power than freedom or certainly your faith.
So do you think the faith community is waking up to this problem?
Well, you know, years ago I wrote a piece it was called Dear Pope Francis, and I'm a Catholic, and it was in response to his negativity towards America and its capitalism. And I said, look, America is what funds your church, and it was the freedom of America that allowed the Catholic Church to expand in America. And there's pushback against this particular pope. There's also a pushback among all the Christian denominations in the fact that the American left wants to rewrite their lives. excuse me, Americans are very kind and patient as a civilization. They're okay with others, you know, living their lives as long as you don't attempt to take away their life, their livelihood, the manner in which they express their faith and live their lives. And the left and big socialism in history doesn't like that. They don't like diversification of thought. And so, yeah, I do think because things are out of control in Washington, and when you try and grab something from someone, they pull back and say, no, you can't do that. So the bigger government gets and the more it tries to take away your rights, the more people, I hope, will push back. And so I expect that more, and it's more important coming from the faith community than it will be from big business, because big business doesn't have a purpose beyond making money, whereas the faith community obviously does.
I'm going to run out of time. So what's your 30,000-foot view of where we are politically in this country heading into this cycle?
30,000. Look, government power centralizes always and everywhere. And the American experiment was about decentralizing that. And that's really what's on the ballot this fall. Democracy and republics work when economic and political power are separated. They are coming back together. Pfizer had more power than you and I and everybody else combined in the last 4 years. But that's not good. Americans are realizing that. So this fight, this fall, is whether Americans will push back, throw out the Biden administration so that someone can come in and clean up the DOJ and the FBI and some other aspects of government so that this centralization stops. And if they don't do it this time, then there will be a big hit on this republic of ours, because then the FBI, the DOJ, and the big establishment will think, Trump couldn't do it, the voters couldn't do it, we're free to centralize and take more rights away. And that's where we are as a civilization right now.
That's beautifully said. Do you think we see that? I mean, you explained the core of the problem. Do you think we see it? Are we tied up with two personalities?
Well, yes. The personality thing is a big issue. I always tell people, stop focusing on the person and focus on the purpose. America had a purpose when it started. It's lost that purpose, quite honestly. Mm. Its purpose was freedom, democratization, living lives as you personally wanted. We've lost that. Now, the more government grabs, it's starting to affect people, including the demographic you spoke about earlier. We need leaders who stand up and say, look, the difference here is not only is government failing you, but it's taking away your freedoms at the same time, and we're worse off. And they got to have a plan to show how you can get better. This should be the easiest election in a long time, because unlike any other election in the modern era, we had 4 years of good policies followed immediately by 4 years of bad policies and bad results. But Americans need to get out there and say, we can do this. It's a mistake to believe that you simply vote and expect things to get better. The founders didn't vote out the king. They stood up. And so this notion that you can simply protect a republic by voting every 2 years, which is gripping some people and aspects of our country, is simply wrong. That's not the history of mankind. The history of mankind is what Franklin talked about when he said, a republic, if you can keep it. And here's a really important point. He said to the woman who asked him, what is it? He said, it's a republic if you can keep it. He did not say if your leaders can keep it. He said you, the individual. It's Americans that must keep this, not expect those taking your freedom to keep your freedom.
Oh, beautifully said, because never before, at least on our time, that we have the choice between two incumbent presidents. Like you said, we've lived under both. The difference couldn't be more clear. And do we see it, and are we going to act upon it? Pretty amazing. In addition to, we can pick this up at another time. Whoever becomes the nominee, well, we know who the nominees are. And if Kamala Harris stays as vice president, we don't know who President Trump's going to select. They're really putting that person in position to be the nominee in 4 years. So it's not a lame duck thing. It's really all-out war thing for 4 years.
Yeah, look, the world's on fire right now because of weakness, yeah. And we need to get resolve back. Thanks so much for having me on.
Tom, you're a delight. Let me say to our viewers and listeners, check out his book. It'll be coming out in July. We'll have him on before then. The Lessons of the American Civilization. There is a picture of the book, the cover of the book on the screen there. Lessons of the American Civilization. Tom does have a website, tomdell.com. You can correspond with him there. God bless you, friend. Stay in the fight.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this week's Focus Today podcast. Remember, you can visit our website to check out all the interviews we did this week on our daily Focus Today TV show at thedove.us. And if you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate us and share it with your friends.